Also, the website, if people can go on to the website, check it out, and sign in. And I don't know exactly, I haven't done it myself, but you basically have to go in and put your information in there. Is that right, Terry?
Yeah, on the, there is a private congregants page for just the congregation. You do have to register to update all your email information. This is mostly for the page and for the email fan mail, for those of you that get fan mail messages by email. This congregants page has been set up as a private page so that we can share information to the congregation without the world having to see it. So you do have to log into this page. By logging in, you have to provide your name and address, a username if you want to, but you need to supply your email address, and that way we have a current email address. I copied them all off the old site, and there are a lot of email addresses that are redundant because people have changed service providers and email providers, so this gives us a way of getting everything updated. If you're receiving your fan out messages by text, that will stay the same. That will not change. And that you will always get a text message or a phone call from somebody if that's how you've been receiving it. That stays the same. The email fan out is the only thing that changes. So take a look at our new website, browse around. It's pretty close to the old website. We spent, there's four of us, and Meredith Worry in Washington spent a lot of time working on it, trying to tailor it. You can email us through the website as to things that you find that you might like to see changed. Because on this site, we have total control over it. So if you have some recommendations, some thoughts, some likes or dislikes, let us know, and we can fix it.
I'm glad he said that, not me. So the service today, number 6, praise him, praise him. Proverbs chapter 4, John will read. 353, ring the bells of heaven. Prayer and messages, Steve, on James 3, 13 to 18. And number 90, O ye joyful people. And it's from the Blue Peace on Earth book, the Christmas book. Any prayer requests, announcements? Everything during the week is the same. Oh, yeah, I mentioned that last week, but this nice collection box at the back, I think it looks pretty good, and a congregant built that, so it looks fantastic. I want to thank that person. I'm not going to bring up his name, but I think everybody knows who it was. We'll get started and start with 6.
Thank you. Today's reading is Proverbs 4. And this proverb, it says, from Solomon, he is giving instruction as he was given by his father David. Reading in Jesus' name. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Amen. Continue with 353.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Today is designated on the calendar as Christ the King Sunday. It is the Sunday before the beginning of the Advent season, which starts next week. And before we pray, I would like to read a few verses that are fairly familiar from Hebrews chapter 7 that deal with the nature of Christ as King. Reading in Jesus' name from the 7th chapter of Hebrews, the 24th verse. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, or was suited to us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we gather this morning with thankfulness that we are able to gather together. We do not take for granted the blessing and the privilege that we have of assembling ourselves together. We pray that it would always continue. And Father, we give thanks that as we gather together, we are able to lift one another up upon this journey that we are upon, and that we are able to encourage one another and share so much and so many of the riches that are in your word and in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, we enter the season soon where we see the humanity of your Son Jesus Christ sent to earth in humility, to a humble place, to a humble home, to humble parents. But before we see him in his humanity, Father, we desire to recognize him as King, as Lord, as God himself. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we can reflect upon the last high priest who came to your children. The other ones all died. They served their time and purpose. But the last high priest, your Son, Jesus Christ, came. And we are so thankful that we know that he is holy, first of all, but also that he is harmless. He cannot be harmed, as his physical body was much later. He cannot be harmed, nor can he do harm. And we are thankful, Father, that in your word and in the promises to your children, there is no harm that comes from believing in Jesus Christ. There is no harm from you as our loving Heavenly Father, and there is no harm that comes from the leading of your Spirit. Father, we're thankful that we reflect that he is also undefiled and separate from sinners. Yes, he was one of us in physical body. He was one of us in suffering. He was one of us in death, but never was he one of us in sin. And therefore, he was and is and remains undefiled and separate from sinners, which makes the gift of his taking on the sin of the whole world that much more prominent. Father, we recognize his deity on this day. We recognize that he is one of the parts of the three-part God. We recognize him as King. And we recognize also that he was made higher than the heavens. Father, in his name, therefore, this morning we gather. In his name we give thanks, and in his name we pray that you would be with us this morning and with whomever is listening, that you would be with your children as they gather in similar places or by whatever means they are able to feast on your word. A word that is reliable always and rich, a word that never fails, a word that always lifts up, a word that feeds. And Father, we pray for food for your people, that it would fill their hunger. Heavenly Father, bless anyone who, even perhaps as they listen today, is not quiet and peaceful in heart, but whose heart is troubled by concern or worry or fear, anticipation, anxiety, depression, addiction, whatever it may be, Father, that is in the heart of anyone who is troubled. We ask that your grace would transport the truth of your word to the spot of the trouble, that it would find the trouble, because the trouble cannot find you, but your word and your strength and your peace and truth is able to find trouble. Heal those, Father, who are in any way troubled on this day. Heal those families that cannot seem, though wanting to get along together, cannot seem to. Father, heal any rift that has formed between Christian people, no matter where it may be, no matter what division there may be. Heal that by your gentle touch of grace. Bless us, Father, as we open your word again this morning, and we ask for your guidance and your strength, that it would feed us also today. And all of these things we ask in the name of Christ the King, your Son, Jesus Christ. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. For a text this morning, I would like to read just a few verses from the third chapter of the Epistle of James, verses 13 to 18 from that epistle, James chapter 3. Continuing on reading in the name of Jesus. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Amen. I appreciated John being willing to read that lengthy chapter of Proverbs this morning, and upon making the request, I was trying to figure out, well, where could we cut it short, and there wasn't a good spot, so I do appreciate that, and I realize as I again hear that chapter being read that I missed an opportunity four times. I wish that for each child that left home, that I would have given them this chapter framed for the beginning of their adult life and their time away from home. It said, hear the instruction of a father. And then the most beautiful instruction of David to his son Solomon that pointed him to wisdom from above. I remember giving advice of different kinds as the kids left home one by one, and it wasn't nearly so rich as I see this chapter to be. And yes, it was likely full of encouragement to remain close to the Word and so on. I don't doubt that. But to encourage them to earnestly seek wisdom, that I wish I had done. Solomon speaks of wisdom in the feminine gender, which I find fascinating, because with some exceptions, women are generally more tender, more nourishing, more meek, more deeply caring in heart. And I say that carefully because men have that capacity also. But there is something about women, mothers also, that have been given a special measure of tender care. And for that reason, I believe Solomon has put, and David put, wisdom into the feminine gender. And when you think about a treasure to carry with you for your life, it's hard to imagine one that is more useful, more rich, more powerful than wisdom. He speaks of it this way, that get wisdom, get understanding, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And our text in James speaks about two kinds of wisdom. The kind that Solomon writes of here, and the other kind, the kind that is of the world. But the words are precious that tell us of how treasured wisdom really is. Exalt wisdom, and she shall promote you. She shall bring you to honor when you embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory. Incredible. Take hold fast of instruction. Let her not go, and keep her, for she is thy life. And even though I'm years late, let me say to any young person, treasure this scripture. Treasure these instructions. And seek after this wisdom. You will have lots of opportunity to gather the other, which comes from head knowledge. Notice there's not anything in here about knowledge. We think that, well, knowledge is required to have wisdom. You touch a hot stove and burn your hand, that's knowledge. And then you say, well, I won't do it again, and you think that's wisdom. But it's just knowledge. It hurt. And so we want to think of it that way, that knowledge brings about wisdom. Therefore, get knowledge. And in our own ways in life, we have to. We do. We gather knowledge. We have a chosen area that seems to be the right one for us, and we rightly want to know everything there is to know about that vocation, that profession, or whatever it may be. And that knowledge is good. But it is not good if we think that, therefore, I must now be wise. I must be wise because I've gathered enough knowledge in order to be wise. Not a word of knowledge is here, but it is wisdom. And it is always spoken of here and elsewhere, including in our text, in a quiet, gentle way. That's the way wisdom is spoken of. I was thinking this morning that, with the exception maybe of the Bay of Fundy, where you can whitewater raft in both directions on the same day due to the tide, mostly the tide of the ocean is like wisdom. It is quietly, meekly even, doing its thing. And before you know it, the ocean has crept up 20 feet. And then without any word, without any warning, without any noise, it just slowly recedes to its appointed place again. Wisdom is like that. It is working quietly. It is not banging pots and pans and cymbals, but it is working quietly. And that is what I pray for in these days in which we live. I pray for wisdom. Solomon tells us how important it is. It even says that she is your life, that wisdom. He also, in Ecclesiastes, he writes and he says, if you just want to flip to it, it's kind of interesting. In the ninth chapter of Ecclesiastes, in fact, the whole chapter is mostly about wisdom, except for the part that says, live joyfully with thy wife, whom thou lovest all the days of thy life, of thy vanity. And I guess that is also wisdom right there. But he says in the ninth chapter, he says, this wisdom have I also seen under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. There was a little city, and a few men within it, and there came a great king against it, and besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city, yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of them that runneth among fools, that ruleth among fools. This story is interesting that he tells of a city, and it is a familiar story to many, of how a whole city that was being besieged by large armies was delivered by the wisdom of one poor wise man. And you would think that city would have been named Wisemanville or something like that, wouldn't you? To honor the one who delivered it. There's been cities named for much less reason than that. But was the city named for the one who delivered it? No. It says that his wisdom wasn't even remembered. Poor man's wisdom is despised, his words are not heard, and above it says, yet no man remembered that same poor man. And he is referring to wisdom. Can you identify? I tried for a little while this morning to find a clever example of where I was filled with wisdom that I could impart as an example. And I sat there for a whole coffee, and I have no story to tell you about where I was filled with wisdom. Can you recall? Oh, I was filled with wisdom. And there are those times when God deals with us and he simply gives wisdom that may be born of certain knowledge, but it is not knowledge. It is wisdom. But wisdom is invisible. That's the point of this story of the poor wise man and the saving of the city. It was an invisible wisdom. He got no credit whatsoever for having saved the city from the great armies that were besieging it. And we think that's what wisdom, I guess, is like. It is doing its job within the one who possesses it. It is your life. But don't go looking for it, because it's a will-o'-the-wisp to try to figure out how full you are of wisdom. Can you gauge it? Can you measure it? Can you in any way say that I know the ways that God has made me wise? I know some of the ways that he's made me knowledgeable. I can tie my shoes and a few other things. But wisdom is so different from that. But yet, because it's so different, and because it is so invisible, and because it is so unappreciated, does that take away from the words of David and Solomon saying that if you embrace her, she will uplift you, she will crown you, she will do all things for you. Therefore, get wisdom, and with your wisdom, get understanding. And my prayer is that we would seek after wisdom. If we turn to our text in James, he says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Is he the one that the town was named for? Is it Wise Manville? No. Let him show out of a good conversation, or his life, his walk of faith, the conversation, his works with meekness of wisdom." That's the man who is endued with knowledge and is wise among us. The one through in meekness of wisdom simply gives forth what God has given him to give. And therefore, it is a blessing when God, who desires to give wisdom, gives it in such a way that it is quietly used, it is meekly used. There's not a lot of noise, but it simply gives you the ability to be wise in what you do and where you go and what you say. That is as well as you can define something as invisible as wisdom. Those are some of the attributes of wisdom. He says, "But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth." And then a couple verses down, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." When we see that there is noise, when we see that there is trouble, he says, this wisdom in the 15th verse descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. He describes the wisdom from above with many more words later. But I'm kind of glad he stopped right there, because you see the direction that the wisdom of the world heads? It's downward. It starts with being earthly. And then it is sensual, which means that it attracts the five senses: the taste, the smell, the hearing, the sight, the touch. It is sensual. It appeals to the senses. And it goes downward from there to be devilish. Let's stop there, as James so wisely did, because it's going straight downhill. And where does that wisdom reside? It resides in the fallen, unregenerated person. If you just look at 1 Corinthians 15, it reflects on the first man and the second man. The first man was Adam, the fallen one. The second man is Christ, born within you. He says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Thank God for that. And we recognize that in times where there is so much noise, like now, in our life and in our world and in our society, it is easy to react with the wisdom that is not from above. It is easy to react with what we think we know, thinking that knowledge must bring wisdom. We're all grappling with what the future looks like, and I don't mean to sound gloomy in saying that, but we are all wondering, what does the future really look like? It is in many ways less certain than ever before. And if we are determined to use knowledge and wisdom that comes from the world, where will it take us? Where will worldly wisdom take us? There is only one direction of the arrow that James describes as that wisdom, and that is downward. It can never uplift. It can never raise anyone up, but it all heads downhill. And that's where James has been good in telling us that that is the kind of wisdom that did not come from above. It is earthly, as the fallen man is earthy. It is sensual, because the mind, the emotion, the senses will be affected by it. It is devilish. And that is the direction that it is going to go. Where is it found? Is it in the Psalms? Woe unto those who go down unto Egypt for help. Psalms or Proverbs. And that's what it means. If you seek for your help in knowledge in the world, and if you seek for worldly wisdom, which does exist, there is only one direction it can take you. It can never reverse course after a steep dive and begin to suddenly uplift, but it will always take the world and the people that are involved with it downward. He has up and down arrows here. It did not descend from above, but it is from the earth, and that's where it belongs. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. How many things in life are pure? Buy a bottle of spring water, and it doesn't say 100% pure. It says 99% pure. So it's not pure. And you can just give it back to the clerk and say it's all mud. Well, no, it's perfectly fine. There's calcium, magnesium, and other things that are good in water, but it's not pure. It's not pure. Can you think of what is pure? Anything that's pure, 100% pure. I can't think of anything on this earth that I would consider to be 100% pure. Some things are very close. Purified things, boiled things, distilled things, and so on. and we say, well, they're pure only because we accept a certain amount of impurity. But what does this wisdom consist of? He said, it is first pure. That's the first thing. You know that it has no contaminant in it at all. It came from above. So the earthy has not been able to touch it and contaminate it. It came from above. It is first pure, which means you can trust it. Then, how is it applied? Peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits. We would think that something so powerful coming down from heaven would have the power to shock a little bit more than that, that it would be able to grip someone by the throat and shake them good with wisdom. But that's not how it operates. It says it is peaceable, it is gentle, it is easy to be entreated. And again, the vision of the tide of the ocean. So gentle that if you stood there for 20 minutes, you'd be frustrated because you have not seen any real motion, even though you know it's coming. But it is peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. What does that mean? That means that when it is dispensed, it is received. How frustrated have you ever been when you've had the best advice to give, and you give it, and you can tell that the eyes have glazed over, and it hasn't been received? Such a good idea. Such great advice. Don't buy that car. Don't do that. Do this. And then we find that it has not been easy to be entreated. Sometimes the problem is the vessel. Sometimes, depending on the relationship, no matter what someone, one person might say, you have a hard time agreeing with them. Don't we all find that sometimes? That we gauge the value of their words by the relationship that we have with them. And if it's not a great relationship, they could tell you that I have a cure for cancer. And you'd say, oh, I don't think, not you, or whatever. And so this wisdom is easy to be entreated, which means that it is received when it is dispensed through the dispensary of the love that is spoken of here. Peaceably, gently, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality. In other words, without fear of dispensing this wisdom, but doing it with an honest and a sincere heart, and also without hypocrisy. Isn't that the problem a lot of the time when we go to dispense wisdom? So we've invented a saying that says, do as I say, not as I do, because we're hypocrites. But it says, without hypocrisy. It is my prayer from my own heart that if I am endued with wisdom, that the dispenser wouldn't ruin it with the earthy parts that are in me, but that it could be dispensed this way, gently, peaceably, easily, without hypocrisy, so that there would be no accusation to say, you're a good one to talk about this or about that, but rather that it would be received as though it was from the Lord himself, as though Jesus himself was speaking that. And here he is talking about sending it out, not just having it sit, but it says that it is dispensed peaceably, gently, and so on. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. We're entering the season of peace on earth. The proclamation of the angels, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And I pray that your heart, my heart, would be full of peace. And also that it would be full of wisdom, that maybe you cannot measure or gauge, but that there would be wisdom from above, pure wisdom from above. Because there is no earthborn problem that the wisdom from above cannot solve. If you flip back to the first chapter of James, his mind was on this too. This wisdom, just like Solomon, the fifth verse. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. If any of you lack wisdom, maybe all of us, but there are times when we feel so strongly, I lack wisdom. It's not a crime. James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it liberally. Do not be afraid to say, Lord, I don't know. I don't have any wisdom here. I wish I had a little bit of wisdom. Let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally. And it says that if you ask, it shall be given him. So it isn't like God is just one in five times going to dole out wisdom to you. But he will give you wisdom when you ask him for wisdom. Because the wisdom that he gives has nothing to do with whatever faults or failures are in you. But rather, when the heart cries for wisdom, God gives the wisdom that has all of what the Old Testament and the New Testament tells us about wisdom. And it does not necessarily appeal to the five senses. Can you see it? Can you hear it? Can you touch it? Can you taste it? So on. But it is there. It is very much real. And I pray that you would be full of it. I would be full of it. And when we lack it, and we know that we lack it, ask of God. And he will give it. It's a simple statement. And it seems like there should be more to it than that. But ask God for wisdom. In all the big things, or in the smallest thing. Ask him for wisdom. Your wisdom, Father, not mine. Not wisdom that I have managed to manufacture because I know so much. But give me your wisdom because it is the only wisdom that has these beautiful qualities. It is the only wisdom where if you uphold it, it will uphold you. It will crown you. It will help you. And you see the direction of every word in David's instruction to Solomon. It's upward. Every word is upward. She shall uphold you. She shall uplift you. She shall crown you. That's the direction. It comes from above, and it goes that way. That which comes from below goes that way. Oh, God, give us of your wisdom through your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And we'll conclude with number 90 out of the little Peace on Earth book.